Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, writer Janet Stobie. So, Janet, tell us a little more about yourself. Have you always written, and when did you start?
No, I haven't always written, although it feels like that now. Unlike many writers, being an author was not my dream as a child. As a teenager, my goal was to be a teacher and get married and have children and be a homemaker. That's what women did in my time, and that's what I did exactly. And so my three children were in university when I started studying at seminary for being a United Church minister. So back in high school, my high school teachers had told me that my writing was very plain and simple, and they complained, you know, about that. So when I started writing sermons, I still had that criticism in my mind, and I worried, and so was then surprised because everybody was thrilled with my sermons because they could understand them. They were plain and simple. Yeah. So I started right out telling stories. So I'd often do a monologue instead of a sermon on Sunday morning because I know people listen better for stories. I did that quite often, and my parishioner said, I think you should publish those so that other people can get enjoy your stories too. And so after a lot of prayer, and I took the leap of faith and put A Child Speaks, which was a collection of my stories, my short stories. They're based on the Bible stories, and what I did was I picked stories that had children mentioned. So children don't get a very big bill in the Bible. So
they
of the little boy who gave his lunch to Jesus, for instance, he hasn't got a name or anything. He's just mentioned. And so I took that story and I gave him a name and a family and a reason for being where he was and why he gave his lunch and what effect it had on him. And so the story is very relevant, not just to children, but to all ages. So I have a strong belief that anything you write for a child is relevant for adults. But, you know, I had done that one. I had done Can I Hold Him, my Christmas stories, and I had done Spectacular Stella, and only then did I begin to see myself as a writer. A real writer.
Well, now you've got lots behind you. And how do you go about finding an illustrator?
You know, finding the right illustrator is difficult. So when I was looking for an illustrator for Spectacular Stella, I was brand new at this sort of thing. I didn't know very much. And so I was really looking for an artist. And I found that a lot of artists do scenery, but there's not many of them that want to do something that's kind of a cartoon, but not really. And so my husband put me in touch with Marion Hill, who was 84 at the time. And so I asked Marion if she would do it, and she said, well, I haven't done anything like that before, but I guess I can give it a try. So she took it on as a challenge, and she did a wonderful job. The illustrations are great.
This is for Spectacular Stella.
This is Spectacular Stella. You know, so when she was finished with the paintings, I said to her, now I'll share. You can have half the proceeds. And she said, oh, no, I don't want that. Just buy my paintings. So I did that, and I've sold over 1,000, and it's on its second edition. So in some ways, she missed out.
Yes, and what about this last book?
Olivia
Phillips.
How
did you find Olivia?
Well, she was one of my church kids. In fact,
really?
My very first Sunday at Dunsford United Church, there was 8-year-old Olivia sitting in front of me. And so I watched her grow up in the 5 years that I was there. And last spring, she graduated from university. And I knew she was an artist. I'd seen her paintings. And so I said to her, would you like to try illustrating Elizabeth Gets Her Wings for me? And she said, well, I've never done that, but I could try. And so I gave her the story, and I told her my vision of Elizabeth. And when she brought back her picture of Elizabeth, I knew I had just exactly the right person for the job. And so we did a back and forth thing. But she didn't give me any paintings until she gave them all to me, because she was worried about being consistent. She wanted to keep Elizabeth the same throughout the whole story. And so she did sketches. They're not the same as a painting.
No.
And I had to wait and be patient. And, oh, my, when they came, I was just thrilled. Just thrilled.
So they turned out perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So do you self-publish your book, Janet?
Yes, I do. Every time I finish a manuscript, I think, oh, I should go looking for an agent or a publisher. But bottom line is, I'm doing just fine self-publishing. And my personality is such that I'm a little bit like Elizabeth. I don't want to submit my stuff and sit around for a year and get all those rejections. Like, I want to get my books
like
out there.
And you like keep control.
Yes, and yeah. I've control over the cover, I've control over the illustrator, the layout, everything that goes into that book. And on top of that, I make more money per book than with a traditional. Now, if I was writing Harry Potter, I'd do better with a traditional publisher. But since I'm not, I'm doing just fine. And I'm not looking to get rich. You know, I'm kind of like those farmers who have a job off the farm in order to support their passion for farming. Well, I just find that I have a passion for writing, and I want to get the message out. It's my ministry. And as long as I make enough money on Elizabeth to pay for getting the next one out there, that's all I need. So I still sell my books mostly myself. Elizabeth Gets Her Wings is on Amazon, but I had her printed also by a printer in Quebec because you get a much nicer book. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly is a very attractive book, so you've made right decision there, I guess. Okay, why don't you read us something more from one of your books? Which one will you choose?
I've decided, Can I Hold Him? My Christmas Stories.
Okay.
Because it's coming up to Christmas. And I've picked the signature story, which is Can I Hold Him? And it's a story about a young girl who is, her dad owns the inn in Bethlehem. Mm. So she's the innkeeper's daughter. And the story takes place the night Jesus was born. And so she says, that particular year, Caesar Augustus had decreed that everyone should return to the place of their birth to be registered for the tax. Bethlehem was teeming with people, and our business had doubled. I remember my father, the innkeeper, rubbing his hands together in satisfaction and saying, thank you, Caesar, as he scurried around the inn. The night Jesus was born, loud, boisterous men filled our inn. Sweating bodies surrounded me, each one demanding something. I was up before dawn that day, fetching and carrying, preparing food, washing dishes. I thought the day would never end. As I cleared away the evening meal, I heard a persistent pounding on the door. Who is it now? I thought. I tripped over someone's outstretched leg and almost fell as I struggled through the people. I wrenched the door open and, without looking up, shouted above the din, "No room! We're full!" I tried to slam the door shut, but there was a giant foot in the way. Only then did I look up and see them. A beautiful young woman, great with child, sat on a donkey. She winced with pain, and the man reached out and grabbed my arm. His eyes were wild with desperation. "Get your master!" he commanded. Well, I knew what Father would say, but I had no choice. I shrugged off his arm and turned on my heel and yelled, "Father! Father!" as I threaded my way through the crowd toward the kitchen. Out of the gloom and smoke, Father appeared at my elbow, with Mother standing close behind him. "What is it?" he roared above the din. I put my mouth to his ear and shouted, "There's a couple at the door wanting..." "There's no room where..." "Full," he interrupted. Then, pushing me aside, he stomped off towards the door, muttering to himself. I turned to Mother and pleaded, "Isn't there some way we can help them? The woman's going to have a baby." "Get back into the kitchen. The dishes are piled high," Mother scolded. A tear slipped down my cheek. Mother reached out with her apron and wiped it away. "My sweet Hannah," she sighed and hurried off after Father. "I'll try," she called, back over her shoulder.
Thank you, Janet. I like that point of view. Yes, that's lovely. So where can listeners buy your books? On Amazon?
They can get them on Amazon. They can get them off my website as well from me. I go around speaking lots, and you can just send me an email. So my website is www.janetstobey.com.
Mm-hmm.
And just hit the contact me, and it sends me an email, and you can order the book, and I'll sign it, and it'll cost you the price of the book plus shipping. So
right.
The kids' books are $10, and the worship resource and the novel are $20.
Thank you, Janet. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on 89.7 FM.